I want to talk just for a few minutes this morning, and I want to give you the punchline right up front. Normally, I don't do that, but I want to today, so we can kind of keep this in mind. And that I'll give you the big idea, and then you can kind of lodge that away, and then as we're talking through this, this is going to help make sense. It's this. The big idea of today's message is this. The decision to fight is not based on the battle ahead of you, but on the victories behind you, okay? The decision, whether to fight, is not based on the battle ahead of you, but it is on the victory behind you. And so I want to talk about this idea here, the boots on the ground. How many have ever heard this term, boots on the ground? Yep, yeah. This term was actually first officially used by a British officer named Robert Thompson in 1948, that he was talking about sending troops into battle, and he used this term, boots on the ground, and it means the same then as it means now. And we've heard this used throughout the news. We've heard this used throughout the media, throughout conflicts in Kuwait and Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria. And just here, anytime then we're talking about sending people into conflict, they often use this term, boots on the ground. They were sending boots on the ground. And what it officially means is this. It is a direct physical and personal presence in the conflict. That it's not just talking about it, that it's not just theorizing about it, it's not just planning about it, it's about sending someone directly and physically and personally into the conflict. It is to be present in the middle of the fight, not on the outskirts, not just looking at it from the distance, but right in the middle where the conflict is happening. It's right in the middle of the fight. And it says this, that we're committed to this, that we're showing up to this, we're not running away from this, we're ready and able and willing and going to fight for this. And it carries the meaning and all the weight of that commitment. When we say we're sending boots on the ground, we're sending someone into conflict. And I know in this congregation, we have had people that have modeled that. That we've had members throughout the years serve in World War II. We've had veterans served in Vietnam and in the Gulf War. All kinds of conflicts. We had a young person who grew up in this church that was part of the United States Special Forces that was under a heavy attack, and it was popularized in the movie and the book Black Hawk Down, part of the youth group of this church. And again, very present, very personal, right in the midst of conflict. But we know this, and anybody that's served in conflict understands this, that stories about conflict do not carry the same weight as actually being there. That being told about what it was like is very different than actually showing up and being part of the boots on the ground in the conflict. That it's more than just the story. It's more than just the retelling. That when they're talking about being part of this, that it literally means a direct physical and personal presence. And there's no way to replicate that. There's no way to just tell that story and carry that same thing. It's personal, that you are there risking your life, giving of your time, your emotions, giving potentially of your future, fighting for something worth fighting for. So I want to ask you a question this morning. In your life, what's worth fighting for? As you look at your life, what's worth fighting for in your life? As you look at those things that are under your control, you look at those things that are part of who you are, what is worth fighting for? Is your marriage worth fighting for? Are your children worth fighting for? Somebody's saying fighting with, you know, but what about fighting for? Is your family worth fighting for? What about your integrity? Is your integrity worth fighting for? Is your reputation worth fighting for? Is your faith worth fighting for? Is your salvation worth fighting for? Not just for yourself, but what about the salvation of others that mean and are part of your life? Is it worth fighting for? What is worth fighting for in your life? Is eternity worth fighting for? And as we're going through the list, I'm sure that things are coming to your mind that maybe I didn't list, that means something. They're near and dear to your heart that you would say, this is worth fighting for in my life. This matters. This is worth putting myself, my energy, my resources, my ability on the line. This is worth fighting for. We can come up with a list. And we can list all kinds of things that as we talk about it and as we conjure about it and we think about it, that we say, these are things worth fighting for. This is my list. This is worth fighting for. But let me ask you another question that is really a much more important question. It's this. Are you fighting? Are you fighting? It's more than just talking about it. It's more than just words. It's more than just thinking about those things that we define as a priority, things that we say are worthwhile to us. It's more than just going through the motions. The real issue is this. Are you showing up in a real, personal presence in the fight, in the battle? See, in every fight, there's a crossroads. There's a decision to engage or to disengage. And it forces us to choose. It forces us in that point of conflict to say, am I willing to commit to this? Is this truly worth fighting over? Not in word, but indeed. Am I going to commit to being a direct and physical and personal presence in this conflict? Not just words. And we have to make a decision. Do I run forward or do I run back? Do I head into battle, into the fight? Do I engage? Do I become part of that conflict, even though conflict is not what I desire? But I'm saying it's worth it and I need to show up. Or do I say the battle is too big and turn around and run away? Are we truly boots on the ground for those things that we say are worth fighting for in our life? And it'd be all kinds of things. It was quite a few years ago, and Starla and I were taking a group of young people to an amusement park. And there was one young man that was riding along, and he was talking about how much he loved roller coasters and how there was not a roller coaster that was invented that would conquer him, and he wasn't afraid of anything. And he was talking about, yeah, I love it. I just love, you know, lifting my hands up and closing my eyes, and I don't even scream on these things, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is. And, you know, I could take a roller coaster off of, you know, Mount Everest. It wouldn't bother me, you know, just like, oh, I got an iron stomach. I'm just the toughest man. He is talking big, you know. He's like, I can't wait to get there. I'm going to the biggest one first. I'm going to get out of this van. I'm running right in there. Give me the biggest, scariest one ever. I'm taking it on, you know, big talk. And I'm looking at him. I'm listening. And it's funny because we get out of the van and we all go walking in there. And then he starts seeing how tall those things are. And he starts looking up at those things and starts hearing the screams of other people, you know, as they're, you know, creaming off these hills and everything. And the truth of it is he didn't ride one roller coaster that entire day. That he saw the height, and he saw the amount of drop involved. And he's like, uh-uh. All kinds of talk, no action. Then when he faced what it really was, when he saw of how high and how fast and how scary those things were, he decided not to run forward, but he decided to hang out at the snack shack there and, you know, talk about, you know, how everybody was doing and, you know, slip a Slurpee there. And it didn't work out. And the truth of it is that's a lot of us, isn't it? There are fights that we've all turned away from. That when we are challenged to talk about it, we can talk a really good game. That when we are imagining it in our mind, we can imagine ourselves as conquering it all. But when we show up and we begin to look forward to how big the fight is, there's something in all of us that it's really easy to run, that it's really easy to disengage, and there are all fights that we've turned away from. Talking a good game, but moving away. That we can take a stand for what's right, and then we look at the fight, and it's a lot easier to back down. We can look at the fight and say, yeah, you know, we keep my family in church. Yeah, God's important, keep my family in church. And then we look at the fight, and we say, you know, it's a lot easier just to stay home. We look at serving in God's kingdom and we say, wow, it is part of what God has for me. It is my responsibility, is what God has gifted me to. And then we look at all the conflicts in our schedule and we say, well, it'd be a lot easier to just let somebody else do it. We look at recognizing God in our finances and we say, man, God blesses and it's part of God's principle. And then we look at the cost and we say, yeah, I'm going to run away from that. We look at standing up for our faith and then we look at what it might cost us about our image, our reputation, and it's so easy to back away. And again, if we talk about it, we're all good at talking. We are all. We live and we speak our resume life. You know what that is? It's like they say you come closest to perfection on your resume. It's amazing. You could be working at McDonald's and you are a food preparation expert where you are taking and meeting the demands of a community to fulfill the hunger needs, you know, and what you're doing is you flip burgers, right? We can talk big. But we also live in a society where, you know what, we do and our society and our culture does a whole lot more running than fighting. We say it's valuable, but we look at the fight and we run. We look forward and we run back. We get to the point and we look ahead and we say, that's a mighty, mighty big fight, and we run back. But what if there was a way where we could get back in the fight? What if there was a way that we could look at the situation and it wouldn't be one that caused us to fear or dread, but would actually motivate us forward, that would move us into being boots on the ground for those things in our life that we say are truly worth fighting for? What if there was a way to view our life, to view our world, that would motivate us to become the person that we like to talk about? And there is, and we're going to talk about it today, and it really all boils down to this, that when we look forward to the fight, we're looking in the wrong direction. And I'm going to look in Scripture this morning, and I'm going to look at a book that maybe you don't associate with fighting or war. I'm going to look at the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book that we often refer to as poetry. Poetry. It's like lyrics to a song. It's not drama. It's not fighting. There's not a lot of blood and gore in Psalms. There's a lot of metaphors. There's a lot of analogies. We talk about things like the Lord is my shepherd. And we talk about things like lilies of the valleys. And we talk about things like deer's panting and all of these things. We don't think about war. We don't think about battle. We don't think about fighting. But yet buried in the middle of this book is this story of an epic battle, of a conflict that is raging. And here is the thing, that in this, there was a group of people that had to face a fight. And their decision gives us insight on how we can successfully face the fights that we're up against, to be able to fight for what we view is important. And we learn not from their success, but we learn from their failure. This story has to do with a group of people named after their father, great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, Ephraim. Then when they were associated with a group, they were called a tribe of people, and it was a tribe of Ephraim. And Ephraim may not be a familiar name, but if you can remember back to the story of Joseph, the guy with the technicolor dream coat, he had the coat of many colors, and he went and was sold into slavery by his brothers. And you think your family reunions are tough? You had nothing on Joseph. They sold him into slavery because, after all, they didn't want to kill him. Okay, so we'll just sell him. So they put him up on eBay and sold him into slavery, and he went down to Egypt and went into prison. He just had a tough life, but yet God was with them, and he rises to be the number two man in that time, really in the world, number two most powerful man that God perfectly placed. And now he is in charge, and he is able to save not only his family but his entire nation. And he has two sons. He has Manasseh, oldest, Ephraim, second. And when it comes time for his father Jacob to bless them, Jacob pulls a trick that goes back to the way he was blessed, and he takes and he blesses the younger one over the older one to replicate what happened in his life. And so even though Ephraim was the youngest, he gets the blessing of the oldest. And that blessing follows that individual and that family from the time of Moses all the way through most of the Old Testament. That here is the thing, that the Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, was given the best land. They had the pick of what was going on around there. They marched next to the ark as it moved. It was a position of power. It was a very protected position. They were honored. The tabernacle was set up in their neighborhood, their territory. They had the presence of God with them. It was right part of them. They lived in the close proximity to the presence and the power of God. They had all of this blessing. They had all of these things going from them. And then it was a time of battle. There was a fight where they had to choose what they were going to do. And we find this not in one of the Old Testament fighting books, but we find this in the middle of Psalms. And it shows how the group of Ephraim came together at the time of battle. And look at what it says. Psalm 78. Some of you didn't even know this was in here. Psalm 78. The men of Ephraim. So this is the tribe. This is the ones that had been blessed. This is all this group coming together. Though armed with bows. So they were archers. Some of you deer hunters here, okay? These were guys. This was their profession. They were good. Look at what they did. They turned back on the day of battle. In this little verse, so much drama. A blessed group, an honored group, a group of people that knew what the power and the presence was, yet when they came to the day when they either show up or start turning away, do they move forward or do they move back? They turn back. They looked at the battle ahead and they said, wait a second. It's too big. It's too great. They did not move forward. And the Bible tells us why. And we learn from their mistake. Look with it. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They left what was important. And look at this. They forgot what he had done. Can we say these two words? They forgot. Turn to somebody, tell them, don't forget. Don't forget. He says, they forgot what he had done. This is the next verse. He's telling the reason why. They showed up to the fight and they turned away. Why did they turn away? Why didn't they move forward? Because they had forgotten what he had done. The wonders he had shown them. They were at the point of battle. And they forgot. And what did they forget? Well, the psalmist tells us. Here's what they forgot. That he did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt. And in the region of Zoan, he goes on. He said, look at all the things they forgot. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He goes on. He says, you're forgetting this. He guided them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire at night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. Look at what they all forgot. He brought them streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. He says, look at all the things you forgot. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. At the point of battle, they looked forward and they said, we're turning away. And why? Because they had forgotten. When we're at the point of battle for those things worth fighting for, there is something in us, there's a tendency in us to do what they did, that we look forward to see how big the fight is. When we look at what it's going to cost us to stand up for what's right. When we look at what it's going to cost us to try to keep our family and church connected to God. When we look at what it's going to cost us to serve. When we look at what it's going to cost us to give. When we look at what it's going to cost us to do what we know is right, but is difficult. That we look at how big the fight is. And we say, I don't think I can do that. And we turn away. And when we turn away, that we see three common things, three common reasons why we turn away. When we come to a fight, it's either there's something in my way, there's a lack of direction, or not enough resources. Then we come up against a fight, we see that, hey, there is something that I have to overcome. There is an obstacle in my way. There's a way that I don't see through. It might be fear of what I'm facing. It might be something that is being put at risk. There might be something that I am stuck in. I don't know where to go or what to turn to. How do I do this? There is something standing in my way, and I come up to that conflict and I say, I don't think I can make it like this. I don't think I can give. I don't think I can serve. There is something in conflict. There is something standing in my way. And because of that, I'm going to turn away. The other thing that we see is just a lack of direction. How do I do this? I don't know how to solve this. I don't know what the answer is. Any dads ever just have those clueless moments? Anybody here? Anybody with me? That you just like, you're expected to know and you go, I have no clue. Anybody here just out of honesty? Yeah, yeah, we're all dumb and we pretend, right? Okay. There are moments as being part of a dad or a parent in any way that you know something needs to be done, but you're going, I have no clue. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to resolve this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I have a lack of direction. And because I'm clueless, because I don't know how to move forward, it's a lot easier for me just to unhitch and disengage. It's a lot easier for me to just back away from the fight. I say it's important. I say it means a lot to me. And if I knew what to do, oh, I would do it, but I don't know, so I'm not going. And we see, again, a culture. At the point of decision, do I show up in a personal and powerful way, boots on the ground? Do I step into the conflict? But yet we're going, I don't have anything laid out, so it's a whole lot easier for me to just sit back and let this thing go. The other one is not enough resources. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have what is needed. And we can point to all kinds of things that we lack. We like to pretend that we're perfect until we're faced with actually being perfect. And then we come up really easy with all the reasons why we can't be perfect. Oh, I need this. If only I had that. If I had this, then I'd be able to. If I had that. Here's the deal. Anybody ever feel that they didn't have what it took? Anybody? You're facing something and you go, I just don't have it. It might be energy. It's like, I don't have the energy to do this. I'm sorry. I don't have the money to do this. I don't have the resources to do this. I don't have the influence to do this. I don't have the leverage to do this. I don't have the skill to do this. I know it's important. I know it's a fight. I say this is valuable, but and I would if I could, so I can't, so I won't. And we do what the tribe of Ephraim does, is we go up to the point of battle, we look at how big it is, and we back away. And we see a culture of people backing away. That we look at what it's going to cost, and we turn away. But the crazy thing is, and this is so cool, this little passage in the midst of this book of poetry, it's so beautiful because it brings it all together. Because these three things, these three reasons have been going on since the beginning of their, it's been going on. That these three things are common. That these three reasons haven't really changed. That again, in every conflict, we're seeing these again and again and again. And you can see maybe these in your life that you've been up against something and you realize that there's something standing in the way, or just you don't know what to do, or you don't have what it takes, and you have chosen to step back. But yet, it's so beautiful in this passage that the psalmist writes. He says, look, they turned away. Why? Because they forgot something. Not because the fight was big. Not because the enemy was overwhelming. But they backed down because they were looking in the wrong direction. They were looking forward to the fight instead of looking back to the victories in their past. Because these three reasons that we used and they used not to move forward are the very things that they forgot. Look at this. Look at how this maps out so beautifully. Something in my way. Oh, here's what they forgot. Here's what they forgot. Hey, he divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. You think there's an obstacle here? Wait a second. Do you remember when God removed the obstacles? Do you remember something that looked impassable in your life? And God showed up and said, this is not a problem. I will separate the wall. You forgot. You think that something's standing in your way and you forgot that God is the God that removes every obstacle. That God has removed obstacles in your past. That there has been situations where you thought there is no way through this, and yet God showed up and said, oh yes there is. Watch how I can separate. Watch how I can divide. Watch how I can make a way where there is no way in your life. And it says you decided not to move forward because you thought something was in your way, because you forgot there was a God that removes the obstacles. You forgot how he has done that in your past. And you decided to pull away. You forgot. Look at the next thing, next reason. It says lack of direction. Oh, here's what you forgot. Remember that God guided them with the cloud by day and with the light of fire all night? You were out there in the middle of the wilderness and Siri wasn't working and Google wasn't working and your GPS satellites were down. Where do we go from here? And God showed up and gave direction in a divine way. It wasn't based on your knowledge. It wasn't based on your ability. It wasn't based on all the resources you had. It came from God. And as you look back through your life, you see areas and times in your life where God prompted and God moved and gave you divine direction that you may not have understood it in the moment. But as you began to look back, you go, oh my goodness, we just bypassed that cliff. Oh my goodness, we just bypassed that conflict. He says, you forgot. You're not fighting because of a lack of direction. You don't know what to do. You've forgotten that there is a God that guides. There is a God that leads. There is a God that illuminates. That your word is a light unto my path. You illuminate me moving forward. You forgot it. And because you were looking at the fight, instead of looking back at how God has given direction in the past, you decided to pull away. Third reason, look at this. Not enough resources. I don't have what it takes. What did you forget? Look at what he told him. Don't you remember? You forgot to remember that how in the wilderness he split the rocks and gave you water. You didn't have water. You didn't have what it took. And God provided what you needed miraculously. He says, not just water, not just a little trickle, but what? Water as abundant as the seas. He gave you more than what you needed. He supplied out of an area that you didn't think could supply. And yet God provided exactly what you needed. He brought streams out of a craggy rock and made the water flow down like rivers. You're in there looking at a fight and say, I don't have what it takes. And you've forgotten that God is the God that gives you exactly what you need. And God is reminding us this morning, don't make your decision looking at the battle. And like we said right at the beginning, the big idea is this: your decision to fight isn't based on the battle in front of you. It's based on the victories behind you. That when we come to a battle, when we come to a fight, the best position to look is not forward. Oh, that's a mighty big problem. Oh boy, I don't know how I'm going to get around that. Oh boy, that's going to be a tough one. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do that. Oh boy, I don't have what it takes. Stop looking forward, because when we look forward, there's a tendency in every one of us to run back. But when we turn and look back and we say, my God was there when I needed him. That my God in my past has removed obstacles that I didn't think could be removed. That my God was there and gave me direction when I didn't know where to go. That my God was there and provided everything that I needed to move forward. You see, when I turn around and I look back at how good and faithful my God has been, when I realize who is with me, when I realize who is traveling with me, whose name is emblazoned upon my life, Who is my dad? Who is my father? Who is my God and my Savior? It doesn't matter how big the fight is ahead of me. I look back and I see that my God has never, ever, ever been defeated. There has nothing been too big that my God couldn't remove it. There has never been a decision that my God couldn't move me through. There has never been a resource too great that my God couldn't supply for me. That my decision to fight isn't based on how big the battle is ahead of me. It's based upon the victories that God has provided behind me. And so when we face a fight, it's not about analyzing how big it is or how scary it is. That's the time that we get down on our knees and we begin to remind ourselves how great my God is. How good my God is. And God's reminding you, you're looking in the wrong direction. If there's something in you that's fearful about your next step, that I don't know what tomorrow holds or this week holds or this month holds, you may be up against something that is scaring you to death. That you talk a good game. That you're talking a good game, maybe to the guy in the mirror. It's like, you can do this. And you try to pump yourself up, but in actuality, you are scared to death and you are clueless and you have no idea. And you're about ready to bolt. You're about ready to unhitch and just pull away. God's saying, you're looking in the wrong direction. Turn around and start looking at how I have acted in your life, how I have been. Where is the evidence? Where are the obstacles that have been removed? Where is the direction that has been given? Where are the resources that appeared out of nowhere? Amen. Out of places you never expected for it to appear. And yet God miraculously supplies. And we look at those examples. And so that is what we need to do. It doesn't matter how big the fight is ahead of it. It doesn't matter. We look back. And so it is something that we need to do. The challenge, and how do we apply this, is this: that every time we come up against a fight in our life, we need to stop and reassess what God has done in our life. You need to start looking back. That's why it's a great thing to keep a journal if you're a guy, a diary if it's a girl. It's the same thing, but guys, it's just a lot easier to say, I have a journal. Kind of tough for us guys to say, I have a diary. Okay, just saying. Some way to record it. Some way to jot it down. Amen. Some way to remind ourselves. Because here's the thing, you forget things. You forget things. Anybody ever forget things? How many forgot something this morning? You were looking for the keys or something, or woke up and didn't know who your wife's name was. I don't know what it is. We forget things. That's why it's so important that we write things down. Okay? Just jot it down, cue card, something. Of when God does something great in your life, write it down. And I have been blessed that somebody told me this years and years ago. I was 12 years old, and so I still have notes and papers from way back. And when I go up to a tough time, I dig those babies out. And I laugh at them because I was really stupid back then and I didn't think I was. And it's funny, but you know what? It reminds me. She's laughing because she's read them. My penmanship was horrible. My spelling was atrocious. And I thought I was a lot bigger and badder than what I was. But here's the thing. There are stories in there of God's faithfulness. Amen. There are stories in there that reminds me that I've been through a storm before. Mm-hmm. And I'm still here today. That I've been through some dark times and I'm still here today. That I've been through some things that I was clueless about and yet I am still here today. That my God has never, ever, ever failed me. And when I face a fight, I open that up. I got a little book in my office that I've kept through some tough times in my life. And I go back and read those things. And I was just looking at it the other day and there's a passage in there. It says, I feel like I'm in the middle of the storm in a boat. With holes in it and no life jackets, period. And that was the end of the entry. Isn't that encouraging? Anybody ever feel like that? You're in the middle of a storm, no life jackets, you're the only one there, and then you realize you just found a hole in your boat. And you can't swim. And all of a sudden now it's lightning. And there's sharks in the water. I'm just describing, some of you are like, that's my week. Yeah, that was exactly, how did you know? You need to write it down. Because you know what? On the next page, it simply says, but God knew what was needed. period. That doesn't mean much to you, but that means a whole lot to me. Because that means there was an impossible situation that I did not see a way through, but yet my God fixed it. My God resolved it in a miraculous way, in a way that if I were to explain it to you, your jaw would just drop. You're like, wow, that is truly amazing. But here's the thing, you have stories in your life the same way. Maybe you've forgotten them. You just need to start recording them. You need to start sharing them. One of the things that I love that my dad used to do to me is he used to tell me stories about God's faithfulness, God's goodness. They would go on mission trips and do this and have, man, God showed up and God provided groceries and God healed and God did miraculous things and caused things not to burn and things to, you know, people to not be able to move and God miraculously healed. You know what it did? He was being a good dad. He was passing on and say, hey, son, when you come to a fight, don't look forward to the fight because you're going to have fights, but look back. And I'm telling you, it's not just in your life, but it's in my life too. And I want to do that to my kids. And sometimes we sit around the table and we tell stories. Retelling stories of things that have happened to me or dad or grandma or grandpa generations back. You've got stories. Some of you have generations of examples of God's greatness that you're facing the fight. You need to start looking back. God's been faithful to me, but you know, he is faithful to daddy. He's faithful to mama. He was faithful to grandma. He's faithful to great grandpa. And stories of carrying on that, you know what? God has never failed me or my tribe. That I stand here and we're all the tribe of somebody. Okay, we all came from somebody. None of us here is Adam. God did not create you out of mud this morning and walk you in here. You got history. And when you start looking back through your history, you know what you will see? You'll start seeing the hand of God. You'll start seeing stories of God's greatness and realizing that God has anointed my tribe. That I stand here like Ephraim. We've had the power and the blessing of God in our life and we may not have even recognized it. That there were opportunities for us to become washed away and us to become conquered. But you know what? God's been faithful through the years. And we can look back. And here's the thing. If some of you are saying, you know what? I ain't got any stories. I don't got anything. You need to look back further because you know what your Bible is? Your Bible is an example of you to look back to. Because here's the thing. The same God that allowed David to drop a giant with a stone is the same God that is facing the same giant that you face saying, this is my son. This is my daughter. Same God. Same God that took and separated the waters of the Red Sea that were impassable, that the enemy was coming to destroy them. It was either get stabbed or drowned. You pick, stab or drown. Oh man, we got another option here. God says, watch what I can do. Separated the waters and they marched through. Same God is who you are talking and singing about this morning. Same God. The same one. That we look back through scriptures and these are not bedtime stories. These are not just stories for happenstance. They are saying that this is God's reminding us, you're facing something. But let me just remind you of my record. Let me just remind you of just how great it is that you have. How awesome of a power you have on your life. That when we start to move forward, we begin by looking back. Do you know who taught this? Jesus taught this when the disciples came to him. He says, how do you begin to pray? How do we start with prayer? What's the thing we start with? What do we talk? We start by giving thanks to God. We start with worship. Even in the Old Testament, the psalmist wrote, I will enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It's bragging on God. They began and they would walk into battle, not pumping themselves up saying, we're going to kill you. They began to walk into battle, worshiping and praising the greatness of their God. You look back in the Old Testament, they had a weird battle formation. Do you know who they would send out first into battle often? The singers and the musicians. There you go. That's a wise tactical move. Right? Can you imagine that? Well, we're going into battle. And we're facing a foe here. They've got tanks and airplanes and all kinds of things. I'll tell you what. Let's send the army band first. I think that's a smart move. Get them out there. You guys play loud and hard. Everybody wants to play the tuba in that one, right? It's like a lot of metal to hide behind here, right? They missed it. they would start off, they would lead into battle saying, our God has never failed us. Our God defeated every other enemy. Our God is greater. Our God is more. Our God has a perfect record. Our God invented it all. Our God defeated every enemy. Our God is greater. God has never been defeated. And that is how they went in. They were backing into the battle. They're saying, we're marching into battle, but we're looking at the Lord. We're marching into battle, but we're looking at the Lord. Do you know what? You say, well, that makes you vulnerable. That means you look at, you're just exposing your whole back. You're backing into it. You should be running. Do you know what this? It's not your battle to fight in the first place. Scripture says the battle is the Lord's. Our job is to simply worship and be obedient as God leads and directs. That you're up against something, guess what? You don't have to be smart to be wise. I know some really smart people who make some really dumb decisions. And I know some really simple people that are some of the wisest people. Why? Because they realize I rely upon God's wisdom. I know some people that are able to navigate through situations that you go, how did you do that? You do not, you have a hard time adding one and one together. But they realize, wait a second, I have faith and I'm doing what God says. I am applying what they said at the beginning. I'm God's laws, God's principles, God's ways. That when I remember that God wins, it's the incentive for me to do it God's way. And when I am living my life according to God's way, then God wins. Then I don't forget it. And I realize that the battle isn't mine. It's God's. You're facing a fight. Best thing you can do is start worshiping God. Our response is this. Our response in the middle of a fight is start telling God how bad the fight is. Anybody ever feel that it was your job to inform God just how bad you had it? Lord, you don't realize what I'm up against. Lord, this is, oh, if you only knew. God knows. How different would it be if we went in saying, God, wow, look at what you've done. God, let me just thank you. Let me just worship you. Because here's the thing. When we realize how great our God is, the size of that fight, smaller, smaller, and smaller. And we realize that it's not just a fight. It's just a path. It's not a battle. It's just part of the path that we're following God through. We love God on the mountaintops, but God is also there. He says, yay, through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. We're walking through. We're getting through the other side. That when we're faced with something, it is not based on the fight ahead of you. When we started this here just a few minutes ago, we started thinking about those things that we said are worth fighting for in our life. What is that? What is a fight that has looked so big to you that there has been something in you that says, I don't know if I can move forward? What is that in your life that you say, it's worthwhile, but I'm falling short. I don't have what it takes, that I'm up against something. What is that in your life where you have not showed up in a personal, present manner in the midst of the conflict? That you've allowed the fight to overwhelm you. God is speaking to your heart this morning and says, you need to turn around. You need to turn around and let me remind you just who is with you. There's a scripture that we love to quote, yet we find it difficult to live. It's simply this, as greater is he that is within me than anything outside. That God is greater. Don't forget and turn away, but remember and move forward. Don't forget and turn away, but remember and move forward. Can you take your preaching finger this morning and can you turn and point to somebody and tell them that? Don't forget and turn away. Come, preach it to them. Don't forget and turn away, but remember and move forward. Forward. Move forward. God has done so much. God has done so much. God has done so much. I'm looking out at this crowd and I'm seeing miracle after miracle. You've told me stories and I've heard examples in your life. You are a representation of God's greatness. But I also know this, that in this room, there's some battles going on. There's some fights going on. But God brought you here on this Father's Day morning to remind you the decision to fight isn't based on the size of the battle ahead. It's based on the victories that God has provided in your past. Can we stand this morning?